Texas textbook standards tend to influence academic materials nationwide, thanks to the sheer size of the state's school-age population. Unfortunately, what are facts in most other states are sometimes seen as opinions in Texas, or at least it seems that way, going by some of the hard-to-believe controversies engulfing the book approval process. With me is a scholar who's been studying this process closely for the Texas Freedom Network Education Fund, Dr. Emil Lester. Dr. Lester, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you, Walton.
You know, as long as I can remember our good cooperation with the Texas Freedom Network, we've been talking about textbooks and the abuse that the religious right has brought to textbook selection. Dr. Lester, can you briefly expand on the textbook approval process in Texas? Who's involved in it, and how the decisions they make are likely to impact school districts all over the nation?
Well, Walton, as you mentioned, in 2010, the Texas State Board of Education, which is composed primarily of social conservatives and members associated with the religious right, adopted extremely controversial standards on a number of issues, including the discussion of evolution and the discussion of history and government, which was the subject of my particular report. And now, in 2014, the board is currently considering which textbooks to adopt based on those standards. And as I can talk more about, what we found is that, unfortunately, too often the textbooks truckled under and listened to the Texas State Board of Education faulty standards.
Hmm. Emil, I think it'd be helpful to our listeners if you would just give some examples of the way in which subjects get so politicized and thus become footballs for state educators to decide on who's going to catch which one.
Sure. Well, the Texas, just as a little bit of background, the Texas Freedom Network asked me to review seven textbooks which proposed for use in U.S. government grade 12 courses. And what we found overall were numerous inaccuracies and bias. The Board of Education, these texts had the opportunity to empower high school students with knowledge. Unfortunately, too often they chose to treat students as pawns in our culture war. So just to give you one example, and I can certainly give you more, several textbooks claimed the Judeo-Christian origin of democratic government and claimed that Moses and Solomon were democratic leaders. The word democracy is not mentioned in either the Old Testament or the New Testament. I don't know about you, but when I read Exodus chapter 32 and Moses returns from Mount Sinai and commissions the Levites to slaughter 3,000 Israelites, he does not take a popular vote. He does not take a popular referendum. Solomon is an odd choice for a conservative hero of democracy, given that he took power in a coup d'etat and that his major policy was a huge public works project that was funded by heavy taxation. Moses and Solomon, I as a Jewish person believe, were great leaders, but they were not democratic leaders, as this textbook claims.
You know, I have to tell you, I'm smiling to keep from crying, I guess, as we talk about this. Emil, I want you to give our listeners some history on this manipulation of school books with a political agenda, both in Texas and elsewhere, because some people, I think, don't know that history as we do. But let me get there by asking you, are there still objections about using the name of Thomas Jefferson and Martin Luther King Jr.? Is that still going on?
In the textbooks which I reviewed, there was no specific problem with that, but in terms of Thomas Jefferson's legacy, one of the standards that the Texas State Board of Education adopted in 2010 was that students should quote, compare the wording of the First Amendment with the phrase separation of church and state. And one of the Texas school board members apparently likes to, in meetings, wave a $100 bill around and offer it to anybody who can identify the phrase separation of church and state in the Constitution. Well, that's a dangerous game to play in a couple of ways. First of all, because beside the mention of the conventional dating phrase in the Year of Our Lord, the Constitution does not mention God. So I'm not sure that's a road that these conservatives want to go down. In addition, the view that Thomas Jefferson's position on separation of church and state had nothing to do with the Constitution completely ignores the context surrounding the adoption of the First Amendment. Thomas Jefferson and James Madison were extremely close and shared views very close to each other, particularly on this issue of separation of church and state. And James Madison was the primary drafter of the First Amendment, and he introduced the Bill of Rights, of course, into the first Congress. So what the Texas standards did, and what unfortunately several of these textbooks did as well, is they cherry-picked facts about American history to fit a political agenda.
Yeah. Emil, what would be the date you would cite as the beginning of this textbook battle?
The controversy really arises in 2010. I mean, of course, there are longstanding issues in Texas dating back prior than that, concerns about whether history is being taught in a quote-unquote sufficiently patriotic fashion. So there's a long history of these sort of challenges of history and social studies works, but this particular controversy relating to how to teach history and how to teach about American government in Texas relates back to 2010.
Yes. And I can say, because I was actually living in Texas when the earliest of these battles began, and then, you can imagine if they're doing this on history, what they were doing on science. But it has not gone without opposition, this pressure. And I'd like for you to say something about the kind of work that's being done to push back against these kinds of initiatives.
Sure. Well, the Texas Freedom Network has been very active for quite a while in pushing back against this. This is in a number of fronts. There have been replacements of extreme conservatives on the Board of Education, in some cases with more moderate members. In this particular conflict over what's being used in these textbooks, the Texas Freedom Network has been involved in pushing back against textbook companies using this discussion of Judeo-Christian influence on the founders and the founders' political beliefs. There was also another egregious example, which I can talk about briefly, and the Texas Freedom Network has started a public campaign about it. One of the textbooks uses a racially insensitive cartoon about affirmative action, and the cartoon depicts two extraterrestrials in a spaceship that have recently landed on Earth, and gesturing toward a man in a suit and tie, one alien says to the other, "This planet is great," he says, "we qualify for affirmative action." The cartoon implies that recipients of affirmative action, like women and African Americans and Hispanics, are somehow un-American or even less than fully human. So the Texas Freedom Network has started a public campaign to ask this particular textbook to get rid of that racially insensitive cartoon.
Would you mind, Emil, in the work that you personally have done on this, what is the most controversial issue that you have highlighted?
Sure. Well, I think the most controversial issue relates back to the influence of the Judeo-Christian tradition and Moses on the American founding. And I just wanted to say that I think the real shame here is that there is so much true about American history and about the Judeo-Christian influence on the founders that the textbooks and the State Board of Education could have talked about. The textbooks could have talked about, for instance, the influence of the Great Awakening on the American Revolution. They could have talked about how the Evangelical Baptist Roger Williams played a crucial role in the evolution of freedom of religion and freedom of conscience in the United States. And what these textbooks and what the State Board of Education decided to do instead is that they were not content with the truth. They decided to exaggerate and even invent truths in some case. So just to give an additional example similar to the ones before, several of the textbooks claim that Mosaic law had an influence on the founders. And again, this is simply not accurate. There is a famous letter from John Adams to Thomas Jefferson in 1825 where John Adams specifically denies that Mosaic law had an influence on the founders and an influence on our political structure. There are no similar letters from any founders claiming that there was an influence of Mosaic law upon the founders. So this is an outright historical invention.
Am I too simplistic, Emil, when I say that this boils down to not an interest in greater truth, but an interest in politics?
I think that's right. The way that I summarize my report is that this is a triumph of ideology over ideas. And what the State Board of Education and these textbooks in some cases has conspired to do is to make students learning casualties of the culture war. And again, I think that's really unfortunate because I think that there are aspects of American history relating to religion that could be discussed, and in fact, very much should be discussed in public schools. I think that there is a real issue here that in some cases, conservative Christians get a, or fundamentalist Christians get a raw deal in American history textbooks. For instance, often the only mention of American fundamentalism is a derogatory mention of fundamentalism in relationship to in fundamentalist participation in the Scopes trial. So I think there is much true that these textbooks in the State Board of Education could have highlighted, but instead they decided to go in a more political and politicized route.
Dr. Emil Lester is Associate Professor at the University of Mary Washington Department of Political Science and International Affairs. He works closely with the Texas Freedom Network Education Fund on issues of political influence on academic curricula. Dr. Lester, thank you so much for the work that you're doing for the good of our nation and for the good of education in this nation, and also for taking a little bit of time out to be with us on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you, Welton, for this opportunity. It was an absolute pleasure to speak with you.